The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our reviews of the player cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. This time around, we are taking a look at the Survivor cards. We will review Short Supply, Schaffner's Catalog, Bandages, and Jury Rig. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisperer in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a +1/+0, or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token, while cards that we believe are destined to end up on the optional list of taboos, or that are just bad for the game, get a Curse Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. Speaking of amazing people, a special shout out to Chris, the latest patron to embrace the darkness. Thank you very much, Chris, for your tremendous support. It is greatly appreciated. I hope that you have a fantastic 2022 filled with great Arkham Horror LCG memories. If you'd like to be like Chris and support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. I'd also like to thank Cole Monroe Chitty for the tremendous art that graces this channel, Nicole Fiscus for the new Whisper in Darkness logo, and Nate Lost in Time and Space for the intro as well as the overlays. Thank you very much. I couldn't do it without you. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with our reviews of the player cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. We are going to kick things off here with part one of our look at the Survivor cards. Just a reminder to like, comment, and subscribe if you enjoy the content that we are creating. We always appreciate it. We are going to start off with Short Supply. It is an asset that is a permanent. It is limit one per deck, purchase at deck creation, forced. When your first turn of the game begins, discard the top 10 cards of your deck. What do we think about Short Supply?
This is a pretty nice card for recursion-based decks. Being able to get a stockpile of cards into your discard pile right from the very get-go can turn on cards like Scrounge for Supplies and Scavenging from turn one, which is pretty nice. I think apart from those style of decks, you're not really interested in this card.
Yeah, although it's kind of... Survivor has gotten a few ways. You named all three of them. Scavenging, Short Supply, and Resourceful. To easy ways to bring cards back out of your discard pile into your hand. So I think like with Short Supply, it's actually like kind of simple in how it works. It's just if your deck is set up in such a way that a card being in the discard pile is easier to grab than if it's deep in your deck somewhere, then it's probably a good idea for you. Short Supply also synergizes really well with Winging It and its cousins, so I just thought I'd like to note that.
Yeah, I think if you're playing somebody like Yorick who can easily recur cards from the discard pile, this is a pretty nice way to seed the discard pile for survivors, and it does work nicely with that set of events that we receive during the Forgotten Age cycle, like Winging It and Improvised Weapon, where they actually play better from the discard pile than they do in your hand. And if you are going all in on that sort of deck, this can get those cards in that pile a little bit quicker. One of the things I have noticed playing Yorick recently is that especially at the beginning of a scenario, his ability is difficult to trigger because you usually don't have enough items and assets in your discard pile in order to use him effectively. So having a card like this is kind of nice, that you can dump 10 cards into your discard pile right away. So you are turning on Yorick's ability, and theoretically you'll have something in there that you can use. So that one is, I think that's nice. How would we rate Short Supply?
I think this gets a pretty solid Blessed Token. You know, if you're playing cards with recursion, this is great. If you're not, then you're not going to play this.
I would go so far as to give it actually a +1, because, you know, it's like you said, if you are playing recursion cards, this is great. If you're not playing recursion cards, this is not great. It's just that you're a survivor. You're probably playing Resourceful. Might be playing Scavenging. So just... Yeah, I'd give this a plus one, because this is just like every survivor is fine with this card. Though I totally understand the bless.
I think I'm going to settle on a bless token with this one. I'm not too sure I'd just put this in every survivor deck. But like you said, Matastrophic, if you're playing scavenging or resourceful or scrounge for supplies or stuff like that, then this card is going to be valuable to you. I think if you're playing Yorick, obviously, you probably want to be looking at this just to get a few cards in the discard pile. So at the beginning of the game, before you've put some cards there yourself, you can actually trigger his ability. The next card that we're taking a look at is Schaffner's Catalog. It is a 2-cost asset that has an intellect skill icon, the item and tome traits. It uses 5 secrets. If Schaffner's Catalog has no secrets discarded, you may spend secrets on Schaffner's Catalog as resources to pay for item assets played by any investigator at your location. I have had an opportunity to play a little bit with this one in my Geared Up Yorick deck, and it is pretty sweet when you draw this in your opening hand. The ability to play this for one resource rather than two just increases the amount, the value of those secrets on it. Obviously, an investigator like Bob Jenkins, who's all about items, is going to like something like this. And this is useful in multiplayer because you can use the resources on this to pay for items played by anybody at your location, which a guardian with Bob and this is going to be happy because their 45 automatic or whatever weapon of choice they're using is going to be cheaper, which is good for them. What do you guys think?
I mean, this card is basically recurrable emergency cash when you look at it that way, which is really quite nuts. If you're playing the short supply deck, this is probably one of your premier targets to be able to recur over and over again with things like scavenging or Yorick. Man, great card.
Yeah, I've actually gotten to see this thing in action, and the ability to help other players afford their items is actually like surprisingly useful. What's been happening so far is I'm noticing that, okay, the guardian's out of bullets, he needs to put another weapon down so he can he can do things, but he's one resource short. That's where Schaffner's Catalog really helps. Is it's not about helping one person pay for a whole thing, it's more like helping a player or two get their resources over the line to afford, say, a 45 automatic or another, usually a weapon. So what it does is it means that other players don't have to take actions to gain resources in order to play their items, because you've got them covered with the catalog. And I think that alone, I've been seeing it work out really well. And then on top of that, you add like scavenging, and also you can find it with backpack, another item for the geared up deck. It starts to really come together. That being said, it's not a full-on replacement for emergency cash, because you are limited to what you can actually spend the secrets on, only items, and you do have to have 2 resources to play it. So it's not going to synergize so well with like Dark Horse decks or anything like that. So I guess what I'm getting at is that it's not a replacement for emergency cash, but if you can get it to synergize with other aspects of your deck, then I think it's like really, really good.
Yeah, I think it can be a replacement in certain decks, but like you said, it's not going to be a replacement in every deck. Another little key note about this card is that it discards itself, which is actually really helpful. Certain assets that you kind of want to be able to recur over and over again can actually be kind of a pain to get off the table. Yeah, I think a card's like Flashlight, and that's like a card you want to recur over and over again to be able to get more batteries in it, but it just kind of hangs out on the table, and then you have to play another item over it to be able to get rid of it. Whereas this card doesn't have that problem, which is really nice.
As I mentioned, I've been playing this in a geared up deck, and this is a very nice card to draw in your opening hand because it is slotless, and there aren't that many good slotless items, at least in the Survivor card pool that I've found. So the ability to drop this for one and then have those 5 secrets that you can then spend to play the other items that you're playing with geared up is very nice. You just end up with spending 1, maybe 2 resources out of your own resource pool, and then you can drain this. But I think you make a good point, Matastrophic, that this is not a direct replacement for emergency cash, and it is restricted to item assets. So if you need money for other things, I think you need to be a little bit careful cutting emergency cash for this. It seems like the obvious choice, but you do need to take a look at your deck and figure out what you're going to be spending your resources on, and say if you are using those resources to power one of the new talents, Plucky, that is released in this box, then emergency cash may be a better choice than the catalog. But if you're playing a lot of items like Bob, or you're playing in multiplayer and people at the table are playing a lot of items, then I don't think you can go wrong with this. How do we rate this one?
I'm going to give this one a solid plus one. I think there are a lot of decks that make good use of this card, and the fact that it helps other investigators at the table is unparalleled, I think, for cards like this, and that's pretty nice, I think, alone. Even if you're not recurring it over and over again, you know, that situation that you had brought up, Man from Lang, where you kind of just stick around your guardian and help them play weapons is going to be really helpful.
I'm also going to give this one a plus one. It's just generally useful, just assuming that you're playing items and your friends are playing items and you're not playing expensive events. Like, you're going to have a hard time affording Dynamite Blast with this thing, so you gotta watch out. It's not going to go in every deck. It's not going to replace Emergency Cash in every deck. But in every deck, it could probably serve well as, like, Emergency Cash number 3 or Emergency Cash number 4, you know, effectively. So this thing's really nice. And then, of course, it gets much better if you're using effects to, you know, bring it back or other ways to synergize with it.
I'm going to give this one a plus one as well. I've been very impressed with this in solo, and I think its utility only increases in the multiplayer format. It's interesting that you should mention recursion, because at least in solo, I have not needed to recur this. I have found that generally 5 secrets is more than enough to cover off most of the items that I'm going to be playing. But I could definitely see in multiplayer, when you've got 2-3 other people at the table all wanting to get their goodies down on the table, where 5 secrets isn't going to go very far, and you'll be looking to bring this back. Obviously, this is a better card to have at the beginning of the game when everybody's setting up and playing a lot of those items to get rolling. I think if you draw this later in the game, it's not going to be as useful, and just one intellect skill icon is, I mean, it's fine, but it's not spectacular. But yeah, I think plus one is good for this card. That brings us to Bandages. It's a 2-cost asset with an agility skill icon item trait. Uses 3 supplies. If Bandages has no supplies, discard it. As a response, after an investigator or ally asset at your location takes 1 or more damage, spend 1 supply, heal 1 damage from that card. What do we think about Bandages?
I'm pretty cold to this card, personally. It is, I do think it's better than something like First Aid, because, you know, it's a reaction. You don't have to spend actions to get that healing, but, you know, it's pretty slow. You're only able to do it 1 at a time from the looks of it. So, you know, kind of sitting there, like, if you're taking poke damage, it's pretty good. But if you're taking big chunks from something like the Harbinger, then this card is less useful. It's recurable, which is pretty nice if you, you know, plan on doing something like that. But yeah, I think kind of in the same vein as you, Man from Lang, I'm not big on healing cards. I'd rather just play more soak.
I think this isn't bad. Largely because it doesn't require actions, and you can kind of cover other investigators and allies, you know, at your location. The only thing, though, is that because it doesn't prevent the damage, it only heals damage. So if, say, Dr. Malan Christopher with 1 health were to take a damage, this wouldn't save him, because it's too late at that point. So that means you're looking at 2 or more. You can save allies with 2 or greater health, and, you know, that's not bad for a 0 XP card, I'd say. Just mainly it's because it's actionless. So this kind of puts it way above First Aid, in my opinion.
Yeah, without a doubt. I guess my only thought about this, though, is, like, how often does that healing an ally actually matter? I mean, I know there are certain treachery cards that, you know, deal direct damage to allies, but, you know, apart from that, like, you can just assign damage how you want. So having that extra ally asset clause doesn't matter as much. I guess it would be kind of nice if you were playing like something like Jessica Hyde or Peter Sylvester, and they take like two horror and you want, or like two damage and you want to heal one of them, so they heal the other one, I guess, but eh.
I have a feeling that tag is there because of something. I have a feeling Edge of the Earth is going to attack allies directly. I just have a feeling. I have a feeling that's why the text is actually on there.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then this card is probably decent in that campaign. Mm-hmm. If there are allies with, like, fairly big health pools, and you're able to kind of, like, keep them topped off throughout the course mm-hmm. of the campaign, then this is decent, but...
Yeah. Also, what's worth noting is outside of, like, Peter Sylvester and Jessica Hyde, Survivor doesn't have a whole lot of healing, do they? That was mostly a Guardian thing.
Like, yeah, Survivors tend to be soaking damage and horror with cards like Leather Coat and Cherished Keepsake, and the new you can also use that new neutral card, Heavy Furs, I believe it is.
Oh yeah.
If you want, I did put this card in one of my early Daniela builds in order to try to heal Guard Dog. You could also, somebody like York could use this to try to heal their Beat Cop. In order to get that more use out of those two particular allies. I don't think I ever actually triggered it, though. And I don't think... I think I drew this card and then was just like, nah, I don't feel like playing this. It doesn't really impact the board state. And I could just spend those resources on playing my second Guard Dog. Mm-hmm. So in the end, it sort of ended up falling flat for me, and... It wasn't long before I removed this card from my deck and replaced it with something else to plug a hole, a different hole. I think theoretically you could use this to heal allies like Beat Cop and Guard Dog, but in practice, right, you've got to take an action to play this thing. It is nice, though. This is obviously better than a lot of the healing cards we've seen, that you piggyback that healing on something else and you don't have to specifically take an action to do it. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of combos, especially in solo, where you're, and even like this is just a two card combo with Guard Dog, and even then I was kind of lukewarm to it. So yeah, I'm not crazy about this card, but I can see why it exists. How would we rate this one,
given the fact that, you know, like Manastrophic was saying, that this is probably sort of a hint at what we can expect from the Edge of the Earth campaign. And in that campaign, it's probably going to be like a zero. But I think otherwise, this is probably an Elder thing. It just requires a little too much setup, you know. Like you were saying, Man from Lang, it requires not only like an ally to effectively like want to be able to heal damage from, but then you also have to play this card. So it's like, not only a timing issue, but a resource issue and a card draw issue. And I think just for the amount of setup you're going to go through just to get that online, it's not really worth it.
I think I'd give this thing a zero because, I mean, it's no first aid. I'd play this over, what's it, painkillers, like 9 times out of 10, you know, if I have access to it. And yeah, the fact that you can cover other investigators is pretty nice without having to spend actions, you know, so that way you can cover them during their turn. You don't have to wait till your turn and you have to be at their location in order to give them healing. I think this is like, it's fine. Yeah. So I'll give it a zero.
I'm tempted to give this either a zero or an Elder thing. I think I'll end up on zero just because.
Isn't that like a record for you for healing cards?
It is. It
Does
is.
That make this the best healing card in the game, in your opinion?
It may very well be. Personally, I don't think I end up playing this because, yeah, it's, while it is a better healing card than many of the healing cards we've seen, my experience with it so far has been pretty lukewarm, but I could see its utility if this campaign really ramps up the damage, or if you're building a deck like William Yorick, who can include cards like Beat Cop or Greta Wagner or Guard Dog that take damage in order to trigger their abilities. it's nice to be able to maybe get a little bit more utility out of them rather than having to play another copy of that ally, especially somebody like Greta, who is 5 cost. So this thing is at 2 cost, you're getting a bit of a discount there, and the ability to heal 3 damage from her, you know, might come in handy. But yeah, I know when I drew this in my hand, I was kind of like, oh, now I've got to play this thing. And yeah, I wasn't particularly inspired, but I'll give this one a 0. It's fine. The final card that we're going to look at in this part is Jury Rig. It's a free event that costs, or that has, 1 intellect and 1 combat skill icon. It has the upgrade trait, which we haven't seen on, nothing. We've seen that on many Survivor cards. It uses 3 durability. You attach to an item controlled by an investigator at your location as a free triggered ability. During a skill test on attached asset, spend 1 durability. You get +2 skill value for this test. It's important to note right off the bat that this free triggered ability, you can trigger that as many times as you want when you take the test. So if you just want to drain this, you can get +6 skill value, which is probably overkill in a lot of cases, but you can do it. What do we think about Jury Rig?
Now that you kind of mentioned the fact that you can drain it all at once, I actually think this is better in harder difficulties for that reason.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I think the main issue I've had playing this card is Crypt Chill and things like Crypt Chill. It's that, you know, there are plenty of encounter cards throughout the course of this game that either make you pass a willpower test to get rid of an asset, or they just get rid of an asset because it's mean. And when you have this card equipped, that you're essentially 2-for-1-ing yourself, and that feels real bad. So I actually kind of think it's better if you're kind of just playing it and then trying to smack something really hard or complete some like really difficult test, something along those lines. I think it's actually better in those circumstances.
I think this thing is bad just by the numbers. So you spend a 0 in an action, and you're getting up to 6 points of value. And if we kind of value that as almost 6 resources, you know, just by looking at the, you know, like the paradigm of the talents that let you spend 1 resource to get +1 on a skill test. Yeah, and then there's, if you add on the fact that you could, you know, give a test like 2 shots of +2, or 3 shots at +2 for a +6. So that's actually not bad just by the numbers. I mean, it's a little slow. You got to spend an action to do it. But yeah, I think you can get a lot worse value for an action. I wouldn't necessarily recommend playing 2 of this in any deck that can do it. Just playing 1 because is probably a good idea, because you have to have an item that you want to put this on the board before this can be of any use. So if you get like 2, if you have 2 of them in your deck, you can run into that problem of like, I've got a Jury Rig, but I have nothing to play it on. It's a good one of.
I think this would be okay if you're, say, playing some of those cards like Flashlight or a weapon that you need a little bit of a boost. You trigger your Flashlight, you reduce the shroud value by 2, then you trigger this to get another +2. And survivors and, you know, the off-class survivors who can use this sort of thing, you know, barring off-class seekers who are part survivor like Min, most of them don't have great intellect, so the ability to get sort of a +4 swing with this is kind of nice. The ability to use this, say, on a boss, where on put this on a weapon and then use it against a boss. Somebody like Wendy could put this on her baseball bat and really go ham against an enemy. You've got 3 durability. You sort of spend 1 durability at a time. You're sort of getting lucky value out of this. Yeah. Sort of like 3 luckies that you've played permanently on an item, which is, you know, pretty good. I guess the biggest problem I have with this card is when I think about the survivor decks that I've been playing, I honestly don't know what I cut to put 1 copy of this in my deck.
Right.
I feel like the level 0 survivor card pool is so strong, and a lot of the cards are just so useful that, man, this is a tough one to fight for space. like I was Nate and I were talking before we started to record. It's just like, okay, am I cutting Lucky for this? Nope. So there's two. Am I cutting Look What I Found for this? Nope. There's four. Am I going to cut, you know, if I'm playing Live and Learn? Nope. I like Live and Learn more than I like this. I think this one's a little maybe too narrow because of that item asset requirement to necessarily make the cut. Maybe there's a Bob Jenkins item deck that he can get a lot of value out of, but this is not an item itself. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just don't know what I'm cutting to put this in my deck.
Mm-hmm. I will say that you can jerry rig up some Liquid Courage, which is pretty amazing. So you're welcome for that. Just the image of like a bunch of nails coming out of like a whiskey sour bottle.
There is one case for I think jerry rig really shines. Is historically when I've played with Fire Axe. I think a problem I've run into with Fire Axe is Fire Axe is great when you spend a couple of resources, you go down to zero, and you end up, the Fire Axe ends up doing two damage, and it's like very efficient at that point. The problem is when you go to make your second attack, you're already at zero, you can't boost your Fire Axe, you're still doing two damage, but you don't have that boost. This is where Jury Rig comes to save the day. It's a narrow, like specific case, but I think it's like a very good case for Jury Rig if you're doing Fire Axes.
Yeah, or Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Which I guess is kind of the same thing, but...
Same idea, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. That I have run into that situation a few times where you look at your resource pool and you start doing the mental math to figure out, okay, I need to make three attacks, but I want the plus damage. How do I spend my resources to do all that? And having something like this on your Fire Axe would make that... make those calculations a lot easier because you know, okay, I'm going to take three tests. I've got three plus twos, so I can theoretically drain my resource pool on attack number one to get the bonus damage and then still have, you're still adding two for the next two attacks. So that's a pretty nice use of something like this card.
And this is just also making me think, how do you jury rig a Mariner's Compass?
How would we rate this one?
I'm going to give this a zero. I think as a one of, it's okay. But I do caution people to play it carefully. Because I have had some bad beat stories with this card already.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm also going to give it a zero. It's fine for what it does. I wouldn't run it over Overpower or Perception or Unexpected Courage. Because those are just more generally useful and work. You don't have to like spend an action to play Overpower and attach it to a particular item. So I wouldn't play it over like skill cards. But it's not bad. It's pretty decent value. So I'd give it a zero.
I'm going to give this one a zero as well, with the caveat that chances are I'm not playing this in solo all that often. I can't. Yeah. Deck slots are very tight, and I can see, you know, as our discussion unfolded, the more items you start to think of, you're like, yeah, that could work. But then, again, like you say, there are skill cards that are more generally useful, and you don't have to take an action to play them. I mean, it's a good thing this thing is free. If this thing costed any resources, I think its value would go down pretty rapidly, but I mean, yeah, it's the effect is nice, and I think it helps, you know, survivors for the most part. They're I think the hardest class to sort of generalize, because their stat lines, you know, besides intellect, their stat lines tend to be kind of all over the place. They tend to have below average to average intellect, and then, you know, willpower, combat, and agility can vary. So, but yeah, it's not bad, I guess. I don't know if I'll play it, but it's not bad.
There is one use that I think with Jury Rig that is probably super hilarious. You can attach this to medical techs.
I think you're just trying to goad me at this point.
Yeah, I am.
That's going to do it for part one of our look at the Survivor cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. Tell us what you think of these cards in the comments down below. We'd love to hear from you. Any final thoughts on part one?
I feel like Survivor's made out pretty well, but, you know, they're not the most, like, flashy or exciting cards, in my opinion. But they're fine.
Yeah. I mean, for level zero cards, they're all fine. Yeah. Nothing really bad.
That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.